Last week, the nonprofit organization PEN America released a new report about book bans in schools, with data collected across the United States from July 2021 through June of this year. The findings show that book bans and challenges are on the rise around the country, with certain authors and topics being targeted more than others. Our next guest worked on that report. She joins us now for a look at the results and what it all means for free expression and access to books in schools. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you encountered a certain book or group of books being challenged or removed from your kid's school? Have you made a book challenge yourself? If you work as a teacher or school librarian, have you seen more of these kind of things coming up? What questions do you have about how this works and why there's been more of it coming up lately? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Casey Meehan is the Program Director of Freedom to Read at PEN America. Casey, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
For the purposes of this new report titled Spineless Shelves, 2 Years of Book Banning, what counts as a book ban as opposed to maybe a challenge or other way of bringing a book up in a school?
Yeah, so PEN America defines a school book ban as any action taken against a book based on its content and as a result of a parent or community challenge, administrative decision, or in response to direct or threatened action by lawmakers that leads to a previously accessible book being either completely removed from students or where that access is restricted or diminished. So to say it much more succinctly, we count any book as a banned book when a book that was previously available is no longer available to students or that book's access has been, significantly diminished.
This issue has come up in high-profile cases in certain states, some school board meetings. Big picture trends, though, it looks like these kind of challenges that end up removing books one way or another, they're going up lately?
Yeah, so part of why we wanted to look at the scope of the last 2 years is PEN America started tracking instances of school book bans in 2021. From 2021 to the next school year, the 2022 to 2023 school year, we saw, a mounting rise in book bans. And that trend is, illuminated when we look at the 2 years, the full 2 years, where we have recorded nearly 6,000 instances of books across 41 states and nearly 300 public schools were removed.
There could be a secondary effect here where a teacher or school district doesn't end up bringing a book in the first place for fear of challenges. Do you worry about sort of hidden bans in effect because people worry that certain books would be challenged?
Absolutely. We point to the chilling effect that this movement is having. And there's many ways that the chilling effect is kind of creeping across public schools. So it may be that educators are thinking more cautiously about what books they want to bring into their own classrooms. We've also heard from many districts that school library book purchases have just been suspended districts and administrators and librarians kind of wait out this current movement to censor books and to remove books from classroom and school libraries. So there's many ways that we're seeing, the chilling effect, censor both, and encourage individuals to self-censor and also lead to other forms of censorship playing out in public schools.
Is it always necessarily bad if a book is challenged or removed? We can imagine, a straight up pornographic books. I think few people would make a case that those should be on a middle school shelf, say. Are there cases where maybe not going that far, but there might be explicit sexual descriptions in a book and people say, this isn't what we want in our schools?
I'm going to start with the kind of this idea that there's pornographic material in schools. I think this is something that, PEN America has often tried to debunk. Mm-hmm. It is one of those myths. It is a very, provocative statement that's, shared and is leading to much of the book banning. But we have, there are professionals that have always had the responsibility of curating book collections for students in school libraries, and certainly educators have lots of training on what is and is not, developmentally appropriate for students in their classroom. So, in some ways there's always been sensible systems in place to allow for those educators and librarians and district leaders to make good decisions for their students. And the second half of this is that they're, of course, like, you know, parents have always had a voice in their students' education and should have a voice in their students' education. And traditionally, there are many ways in which, you know, individual parents may object or have, you know, have a deeper conversation with their student's educator as to why a certain book was included in a reading list or accessible in a classroom. But what we see happening is slightly more escalated than that. It's a real coordinated effort where school districts are being challenged by advocacy groups or by individual activists that have, you know, the aim of removing hundreds of books. We also see this increasingly an introduction of legislation that is also, you know, kind of putting like these blanket bans on the types of books and types of content that are accessible and allowable in schools. So there's lots of, I know there's a lot in there, but I think, you know, just important context to raise.
Talking to Casey Meehan, Program Director of Freedom to Read at Penn America, looking at book challenges and book bans at schools. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, your thoughts on this. Maybe something you've seen come up in your own community. Join in at 800-642-1234. Casey, the new report tracks what kinds of books are being challenged. What kind of trends did you see?
So we have seen, you know, again, kind of for the over the last 2 years, some shifting trends, but also some consistent trends. One of the things that we point to is when we look at the content of the book. So not necessarily, you know, we're not pointing to why a book was challenged or like the rationale behind a book being banned, but the actual content of the book. What we see overwhelmingly is books banned include characters of color or talk about race and racism. They include LGBTQ plus characters or talk about and discuss themes of sex and sexuality. And increasingly we see many books that are banned include themes of or instances of violence. And some of that includes physical abuse and sexual assault as well. So those are some of the bigger thematic areas that are overwhelmingly featured in books that have been banned.
You talk about in the report copycat bans. So what kind of things are you seeing when one thing comes up in one school? How does that then spread?
Yeah, so we have seen, you know, again, the way in which, and we point to the coordinated movement here, and I think copycat bans is a good example of that. So if you see, you know, oftentimes a book that's banned in one district will then be, you know, challenged to be banned in several other districts within a state, but also across state lines. So, you know, sort of having that the first time a book is challenged and then banned has a ripple effect of it being challenged and banned in other places. And we point to a few examples of this, including Sold, which is a book by Patricia McCormick. It was banned in 7 districts in the first school year we started tracking, the 2021 to 2022 school year. But then the following school year, we recorded 24 districts that had removed Sold from access, bringing the total to 31 bans over the 2 years. So the way in which, you know, once you're kind of identified as a book that is, you know, for whatever reason is being banned in a given context, then we see it copycatted and mirrored in other districts.
You also look at school policies surrounding these challenges. And there was one case here in Wisconsin, the Elkhorn Area School District, where one parent filed a complaint about 444 different titles in the middle and high school levels. The school's procedure there is those then apparently come off the shelf while the review process is going on. Books including some of the ones you've mentioned, but also like Anna Karenina by Leo Tolstoy. Mm. The expectation is that most of them will end up back on the shelves, probably all of them maybe, but in the meantime, they're not on the shelves. And I understand the district is going to review how they handle that. Your thoughts on how schools handle these kind of requests in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, we have seen this kind of district policy, but also states enact similar policy, where as soon as a book is challenged, it automatically gets removed. You know, oftentimes we will point to the fact that that's against any sort of procedural best practice, which is to keep the book available while it goes through a reconsideration process. And the other piece we often point to is, you know, we will call these types of bans, banned pending review. And we count them in this way because, as you just pointed to, you know, over 400 books in the school district in Wisconsin have been removed from access for students. And this process may take a month. We have seen review processes in other parts of the country take upwards of a year, even more than a year. So that's a long time to have, you know, very highly restricted and or diminished access to a pretty significant number of books.
Casey Meehan is with us, Program Director of Freedom to Read at PEN America, with us to talk about the group's new report looking at 2 years of data about book bans in schools and school libraries across the United States. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you ever read a book in school that touched on sensitive topics or presented a different worldview than what you were used to? What was that experience like? Were you glad that book was available? And are these issues, book banning, that have come up in your own community lately? Tell us about it. Join in at 800-642-1234. I'd love to hear the perspectives of parents, teachers, school librarians, students. 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Casey Meehan from PEN America about a new report on the state of book bans over the past couple of years. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you, if you're a parent, do you feel okay about how your school handles the content, the books that are available in classrooms, in school libraries, on the reading list for a particular class? Have you ever encountered, as a teacher, a school administrator, a parent or student, a challenged book? How did it all work out? Join in with your thoughts, questions, and experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Marcus is with us in Milwaukee. Marcus, hi.
Hi, Rob. So when I was in high school, my father was he was on the school board in Wauwatosa. When I graduated, he was the president of the school board, and they faced numerous issues of this sort. I think back to when I was in middle school reading Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer. I'm a white male. I have multiracial children. I realize that the language that's used in those books is wholly inappropriate for quite some time, but it's certainly definitely in today's society. One thing that my father pointed out to me when I was a kid, he said that if you ban these types of books, though, you will forget where we came from. And if we can't remember where we came from, how will we ever know where we're going? And so I don't think banning is the right way to go. I think putting them into context, making other resources available to provide context and other further understandings as society has evolved, I think would be far more beneficial than just outright banning books. That's what got the Nazis into power, and it caused a lot of problems for a lot of people.
Marcus, thanks for the call. Casey, I'm not sure how they turn up in the new report. I know Mark Twain books have been challenged in the past. Marcus's thoughts on, hey, we give educational context to the books we read. Your thoughts on what he had to say?
Yeah, I think, Marcus and I agree in that. I think this current wave that we're watching of censorship is not necessarily coming for a book like Huckleberry Finn. But that certainly we have had many moments in the U.S. history where Huckleberry Finn has been challenged for its, for the racial tropes and the use of the N-word. And I think that's exactly right. Rather than banning it, removing it, putting it, tucking it away and acting like this book was never written, how can we better contextualize, inform, educate, within the context of the book and the larger context in which and when and where that book was written.
Marcus, thanks for the call at 800-642-1234. Joy joins us now in West Bend. Joy, hi.
Hi. I am calling to ask how many times when something is banned, a book, a movie, or whatever, will the young people look for the access to that item on the internet or in another way?
Joy, thanks for the call, Casey. I have heard this argument that actually banning something may make it more interesting to young people.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, but I think what we our guiding light, the thing that we ground ourselves in, is that school libraries, classroom libraries, schools are places for students to have access to a diverse, diverse access to books and literature that introduces new ideas, new identities, new cultures, new experiences. So to remove books in that context, remove books from schools You know, it's hard. Sure, students can go elsewhere, but not all students have the same access and opportunity to go find and access, you know, these critical resources elsewhere, which is why, you know, school libraries are just so essential.
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up. I don't think Joy was making this argument, but it has been argued. I think in courts, when these kind of challenges have gone to the courts, there's been an argument saying it's okay if they're not in the school libraries because they're accessible online or at booksellers. And as I understand it from your report, courts haven't really smiled on that argument.
That's right. And, you know, we, of course, you know, you can be banned from one place, but permissible in another place, right? So, you know, to remove and to prohibit books in schools is still a ban. It's still a diminished, access. And, you know, the way in which we see, again, a coordinated, ideologically driven effort to remove certain types of books makes this particularly alarming.
Thanks for that call, Joy, at 800-642-1234. Talking to Casey Meehan, Program Director of Freedom to Read at Penn America, looking at a new report from the group looking at book bans in schools around the country. Casey, I want to talk a little more about the process now. What kind of processes are you hoping schools have in place before the book challenge or the 400 book challenges roll in?
Yeah, I mean, district policy, as we already pointed to, is so important. So having a really strong reconsideration policy, you know, already designed that, you know, may follow some procedural best practices from groups like ALA and NCAC to keep a book available while it undergoes review, and to have a review committee that includes, you know, parents and educators and librarians and maybe, you know, a district administrator, but having you know, an inclusive review committee to fully read a book and then make an assessment of that book based on its literary and artistic merits. I mean, that's sort of that could, you know, it's close to like, that's the golden standard here. But what's happening, of course, is that in addition to individuals and groups challenging books, we are also seeing the introduction of legislation. This is true in Wisconsin as well, that is changing the game of how book challenges are or book bans are occurring. I mean, with the introduction of legislation, we're seeing, you know, in some ways a shift away from actually having books challenged to just these blanket bans on books that include, you know, certain identities or include content and themes based on legislation.
Point towards states where you've seen the most action when it comes to that kind of legislation, and talk about the impact that's had in those states.
Sure. I mean, you know, everyone points to Florida, so I guess I can start there. But we have seen several pieces of legislation in Florida that have, you know, in some ways really influenced Florida being on the top of our list as a state that is banning, you know, more books than any other state. So we see this in Florida, but we also see legislation in Iowa having an effect on pulling books from classrooms. And again, often without an individual challenge to a book, but they're being removed under, you know, out of caution because of, you know, in an attempt to be in compliant with state legislation.
And what kind of things are you worried about here in Wisconsin? We have a legislature that may have advanced some of these laws, a governor opposed to some of these changes. Are there things in the future that you're worried about here in the state?
Yeah. So, I mean, certainly we are tracking, you know, most states at this point where we do see, you know, either local efforts to remove books that include, you know, kind of advocacy groups or individuals putting a lot of pressure on their local school district, as well as, you know, the introduction of legislation. And both those things are playing out in Wisconsin. In our cumulative report, we do demonstrate that there have been 72 book bans in Wisconsin that we've recorded to date over 10 school districts. And we are also following the legislative session where we're seeing laws or, you know, legislation being introduced again under this larger rhetoric of parental rights that likely will have implications on the types of books and the process of which books are challenged and removed from schools.
I wonder if you have thoughts for a parent who might be listening, saying, you know, there are some books I don't think my kid is ready for one reason or another, or I'm not ready for them to encounter certain things based on our family's values. I don't want to take it off the shelf, you know, for everybody. But do you have thoughts on that parent, how they can work with their school district on an issue like that?
Absolutely. And I think you touch on it. You know, what, again, a parent should have, you know, lots of oversight for their student, and lots of, you know, contributions to their student's educational process. But that doesn't mean making unilateral decisions that affect all students and all parents in that district or in a state. So certainly, you know, if you as a parent are engaging with some of the material that your student is engaging and you're not sure, have a conversation with your educator, have a conversation with the librarians in your community or in your school. And likely there are already sensible systems in place, as I shared earlier, that, you know, can help a parent and a student navigate what is not appropriate for them.
And looking toward the future, Casey, this report looks back over the last couple of years. What do you have your eyes on as we enter 2024?
Oh, you know, I think as much as we, you know, I'll say two things. We certainly see the way in which the trend is increasing. You know, we are counting instances of book bans every day in the hundreds and thousands. It's quite alarming, the way in which more and more books are being swept from access. And, you know, efforts to oppose book banning is also growing. So where we see individuals looking to ban a book, we certainly see, you know, groups and individuals looking to uphold the freedom to read and really looking to defend access to diverse and inclusive books in our school and public libraries. So, you know, I think I have a lot of optimism around kind of those counter efforts getting stronger, getting more unified, getting clearer in our message that all students deserve access to school libraries, to classroom libraries that are filled with books that represent themselves, that introduce students to new ideas and identities and experiences, and you know, continue to serve that our pluralistic society really at its core.
Casey, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Casey Meehan is the program director of Freedom to Read at PEN America. We've been talking about a new report from the group that looks at the recent uptick in book banning at schools.